Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome back to Your Family Dog. Today, Julie and I are going to be talking about meeting and greeting and how that sometimes goes really well and sometimes not so much. So we really recommend a three-second greeting before we dive into full interaction. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Julie, why don't you tell us why you think short greetings are so important?
Oh, well, I think they're really important for a variety of reasons. One is some dogs so quickly escalate when they're meeting other dogs that if you go even longer than 3 seconds, the dog starts to get out of control. But for reactive dogs, especially ones that perhaps aren't going to get reactive within 1 second, it's a great way for them to be able to get a sniff of the other dog, to have a little bit of a meeting and learn how to interact successfully with a dog without getting over aroused. The other thing is even for dogs, even your dog, who may be terrific about meeting other dogs, maybe having
Not my dog. Mine is iffy. We do short greetings. But hypothetically, let's say my dog.
Well, we'll say my dog, Zuzu, who is enchanting when she meets other dogs. But you know what? Maybe she's not having a great day, or maybe that dog doesn't appeal to her as much. It gives dogs who even have a good dog-to-dog greeting an opportunity just to greet and move on before they have to say, I don't particularly like you, or I don't feel comfortable today. So it's great for even dogs who also even know one another, because it gives owners a chance to evaluate how their dog feels on that given day in that given moment. So I have used it effectively in a lot of different situations, but I think the thing to remember about the 3 second greeting is that it really, 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 really has to be 3 seconds. So the way, there's a blog called Thriving Canine by a gentleman by the name of Chad Culp. And what he talks about, he says, 3 seconds is the maximum amount of time the initial greeting should last. When I say 3 seconds, it's one alligator, two alligator, three, and walk away. Number three does not even get an alligator. He says, I've seen it time and again where dogs lose it on the third alligator. And that's one thing I emphasize with my clients and in my classes. When we're doing a 3 second greeting, it's 1-1000, 2-1000, 3, and you're booking your way out of there, because we don't want to give anybody the time to escalate. He also has some great, I think it's 10 bullet points according to how to make this most effective. But I think the most important thing to remember about this is that know your dog. If your dog has a history of biting or aggression or escalates in 1 to 2 seconds, this is not for you. You have to really know your dog. And as he says, your situation is beyond the scope of this blog. So if your dog does have issues with other dogs or is really uncomfortable and you don't even think 3 seconds is too long, then get somebody to help you. Hire a trainer, a positive reinforcement trainer, who can help you work towards that 3 second greeting. So, Colleen, when you're teaching this, how do you tell people how to do this?
Well, I always say that it's better to end early than to stay too long. And I often talk about that and use the analogy of children's play dates, because whenever my kids had friends over, I was much happier if when their friend was time for their friend to go home, that the kids were all sad, like, no, let him stay longer, versus if the play date went too long and it was like, I really want you to leave now. I don't even like you anymore, and you took my toy. Too long. We stay too long. So same idea with dogs, is that if we can have this quick little, oh, I wish I could have sniffed more. Fabulous. Guess what? You're going to get another chance.
Right.
In just a minute or 30 seconds or whatever. You know, we are talking about timing here. So, but we're going to take a break for more than 3 seconds before we let the dogs come back. So
Perfect.
That we can be like, you want to turn? Oh, wasn't that nice? Yay, you. Do you want another turn? Yay, you! And I think people can kind of understand that concept a little bit better when we think of it as, you know, end on a high note. Leave them wanting more is a much better way of approaching
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what I've done, I've used this. My son Victor had a dog, and he wanted to introduce him to, I can't remember who the dogs we had at the time. I think it was Tex and Bingley, and maybe Buckley. So he came over to my daughter Emma's house, who had Tex. And so what I orchestrated was in the front, on the sidewalk in the front, he had his dog Charlie, and another member of my family would have Tex, and they'd walk by, do the 3-second greeting, go on by, pause. Go back again and do it again. And we had like 7 or 8 3-second greetings back and forth until the dogs, I allowed them to parallel walk down the street and back again. And then we took a break and I brought the second dog out. My family's like, what are you doing? I said, I am making sure that this goes really well, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But it is another way to introduce a dog to a new group of dogs, especially dogs that you think they are going to see each other a fair amount of time. So it's not like you just do one. You can do, like I said, we did 7 or 8 3-second greetings before we actually parallel walk together. So it's, and at 3 seconds, that doesn't take a whole lot of time, you know?
Right.
So that's the beauty of it too, is that you can do several, but I think you were absolutely right to point out that you need to take a break in between each one of these 3-second greetings. He says at least 1 second, but I think you're right. I think it needs to be at least 3 to 5 seconds between greetings.
I think so.
For dogs to really calm back down and go, take a deep breath and, we get to do it again. Yay!
Mm-hmm. And I think one mistake people make with the greeting sometime is if their dog is very happy to greet the other dog, that they decide that's awesome. But being supercharged up and ready to play is not really the right time for us to decide everything's grand. We would like to do a few of these greetings where we go like, oh yeah, you do look like a nice play partner, but I'm not losing my mind with enthusiasm about it.
Right.
That arousal and bad outcomes are linked.
Yes, they are. They are, definitely. Because the other thing is what we have found, with Bear, is that he was so enthusiastic about meeting other dogs that, I mean, he got to be stupid about it. He just was not reading other dog signals. And he was like the guy who was up there going, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there. And you're like, please back off. And the other dogs are like, you're getting a little too, you're really big and you're getting too close. And Bear's like, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there. And, you know, it just was inappropriate on his part. He wasn't being necessarily aggressive, but he was being inappropriate. At least the other dogs felt he was. So that's the other reason why if your dog is enthusiastic, the other dogs may not see that as enthusiasm. They might see that perhaps as rudeness and that you're not paying attention to the fact that I need a little bit more space, even though I've clearly told you that in so many ways and you're not listening. One of the things he talks about in this too, with Bix, he says, before you let your dogs meet, both owners need to agree to let the dogs engage.
Oh, yeah.
And so my owners are like, how do I do this? And I said, well, one of the things that I like to tell people is come up with your own verbiage that you're comfortable with. But if you're approaching and you want the dogs to meet, you can always call out to the owner, hi there, like to have my dog meet yours just very briefly. We're on a training walk. Is that okay with you? And actually ask them, is that okay with you in some way, shape, or form? Because they have to acknowledge that either, yes, that's fine, the dogs can meet, or no, I'm not. And if they say no, then don't do it. But I think it doesn't have to be a huge, long discussion. It can just be, hi, I want to do a quick meeting of our dogs. We're in training mode. That okay? And most people are pretty nice about that. But he also says, be sure to have an exit strategy.
Yeah.
And so what do you tell your owners for an exit strategy in case things are not going the way that they want them to?
Well, I like to use cars as an exit strategy. Like, I like to get behind a car with a dog if possible so that I have an object between me and the other dog. Mm-hmm. If we have any sort of over arousal or barky or crazy. And we don't have to have this, but it's fabulous if we do, because it can give us each a little bit of space and a visual barrier. So that exit strategy concept is, how do we add distance and how do we take the pressure off? And taking the pressure off isn't just about physical distance. A lot of it has to do with what else is happening in the environment. And so using a parked vehicle as a barrier can mean that you need less distance, because sometimes you're out walking in your neighborhood. If we're trying to get away on the sidewalk, but you just keep walking and the other dog keeps barking, you haven't solved your problem.
Right.
So having a way to be not quite so far away, but not so obvious, can be a very valuable thing.
Yes, I agree. I also like hedges for the same reason.
Yes.
You know, bushes. I have is it dived? Because I didn't dove, that's a bird. I have dived into bushes with my dog. And I also tell owners, I said, sometimes, believe it or not, just a little bit of distance can make a big difference. If you're
yes.
walking along and your dog is on the inside, move your dog to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've added two things. One, you've added maybe a foot and a half or 2 feet of distance from the other dog, but you've also been able to body block so that you can provide sort of an interrupted visual to the other dog. So sometimes even as small as moving your dog from one side to the other can make a big difference in allowing that passing of another dog or an exit strategy to be successful. Or move over, if there's a grass margin, move over into the grass margin. So
yeah, or beyond.
Or beyond. Like
I think that we get ourselves hung up on how wide is the sidewalk and where am I supposed to walk. Get off the sidewalk.
Yes, that's right. Dive between the parked cars and get off the sidewalk.
Yeah, so you can cross the street. You can go into the street. You can go, I have walked up people's driveways. Hello, I don't know you, but I am moving away from a dog because it's not safe for me to go into the street at this particular spot. So
right.
I came into your driveway. You know, but that idea of like, this is how much space, we're just conditioned that people walk on the sidewalk. Great. But if we're not going to have a comfortable pass-by, then it doesn't help anyone for us to keep thinking about the sidewalk as our only option.
Right. And that takes us back. I think we talked another time when we were talking about loose lead walking that I have my little rule of rule of two, which is you should always have at least two exit mm-hmm. strategies, so that you need to be. And one of the things he says here is you need to be fully present. And I can't. I can't. This is
what? You can't be texting?
That's right. That's exactly what he says. You can't text and do this. So if you're fully present, that also means you're scanning the horizon and you're looking for ways in which you can add some distance, either mental or physical distance for your dog. So maybe there's an alleyway between houses, or maybe there's a driveway, or maybe you're at a particular part where the grassy part between the street and the sidewalk is wide and you can move over there, or you can go behind the car. So look for physical ways. But if there are no physical ways, then the mental distance of taking a handful of treats and putting in your dog's nose and luring him away from a situation is far better than trying to drag him away. So
right.
mental and physical distance.
Just that handful of treats reminded me. I was at my brother's lake house recently, and a dog came out of its yard to greet us, and there was no human in sight. So it's me and two dogs, and as we already said, my dog's a little iffy at times. He's okay. I mean, he's never hurt anybody, but he does like to bark at them and say, you need to get out of my space. This dog is like, hello, I'd love to see you. And my dog's going, Colleen, you need to do something. I'm like, huh. So I had the handful of treats thing, and the first handful of treats got flung at this yellow lab who was stunned by things raining from the sky. She didn't know what to do about that. And she didn't understand it. So the second handful of treats got flung at this yellow lab who, oh, magic. And then when her head was down and she was looking at treats, I was able to get my dog's attention and just move away far enough that he could be comfortable again. But it was that interesting moment of, I need to create a little bit of lower arousal right here, right now. And how am I going to do that? And just getting my dog's attention wasn't going to be good enough because the other dog was just so happy to see us.
Well, I love the idea of flinging treats at the lab. I'm always a little uncertain about flinging treats at another dog. But in that situation, sometimes you have to you have to make do with what you got. And that was a great solution, because I'm always like, as I'm throwing treats, going, I hope you don't have any digestive issues.
Yeah, I had that thought too. And in class, we talk about the difference between an emergency and training. When we're training, this is not what we would do. But if something happens, what are we going to do? I was like, well, there we go. This is what we did. Because, you know, we were in the middle of a street on a road, and this dog is out there with us. I want her to go home.
That's
and
right.
I want her to go away from my dog. These are the two choices. So look, treats on your driveway going that way.
That's right.
So but that doesn't have to, that's not really so much about greetings as lack of greeting. So let's go back around to our subject, which is the 3-second greeting, and really thinking of it from the perspective of going back to Bear for a minute, where you talked about him just being a little overly interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the piece that we really need to help people understand, because so often we have situations where someone with a friendly dog who would like to interact with others doesn't, the human doesn't pick up on the other dog's signals. So they're busy going, hey, my dog's friendly. And even if the other dog would be happy to greet this dog, the other dog's owner is going, your dog is all up in our space here. There's a little bit too much going on. So the idea of let's keep it short, move on, and then if that was fun, do it again. If we could all just adopt that, we would resolve a lot of interpersonal issues where we're snarking at each other going, I can't believe you let your dog do that.
Right, right. That's why I think he said, you know, you don't get the third alligator, you know. Keep it really short. He says, keep your eyes peeled and be fully present. There are a couple of things he tells you to be aware of that maybe you shouldn't be doing a 3-second greeting that I think are something that are very easy to pick up on. The first one, he says, eye-to-eye greetings are a recipe for disaster. So if the dogs are looking at each other eyeball to eyeball, that can really sort of raise tensions. And if they're sort of like a stare down, probably not a good meeting. Dogs are going to be looking and then look away. They're going to arc a little bit towards one another. They're going to be, you know, soft and loose. If they've got a hard stare at one another, this is not a good idea. He says tails tell a tale. He says if tails are stiff, tucked, or only the tip is wagging like a rattlesnake, this is a sign that you should disengage. And I like the fact that he did 3 very specific ones, because people mm-hmm. like tails tell you everything. The tail was wagging. No, if it's stiff, if it's tucked, or it's just going like a rattlesnake, those are 3 very specific things you can pick up on and say, think we better move along. So you need to be looking not only at your dog, you need to be looking at the other dog as well. He said, if one dog is positioning his head over the top of the other dog's head, walk mm-hmm. away. That's another one. Bingley liked to meet other dogs to a certain degree, but he really didn't like it if a dog put his head over his withers. So know what your dog does and does not approve of. I knew if a dog was going to go put his head over Bingley's withers, we better move along, because then his hackles were going to go up and he was going to say, and he'd get stiff and freeze. If their jaws are tight and they're not breathing, walk away. And he says, what you want is a relaxed posture with loose wagging tails and relaxed jaws.
Right.
He says, it is common and good for dogs to sniff each other's bottoms. Believe me, they think that our handshaking ritual is weird too. That being said, even if the initial greeting is good, the 3-second rule still applies for the one out the gate. So even with you, if we're going to do is, when I'm talking to parents, dogs like to sniff at each other's necks and then at their mm-hmm. rear ends. So for parents, I tell them that dogs are exchanging first names and last names. Mm-hmm. And even with the 3-second greeting, you might not get to the last names. You might just get a first name and move along. And that's okay, because the intention here is just to get a brief idea of who you are, not to get the full family history. And the last thing he says, last but not least, the 3-second rule is particularly important for the first greeting, but a very good practice for all dog greetings, even for dogs that already know each other, which we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we need to remember with the 3-second greeting is it's just a good general way for dogs to meet, whether or not this is a new dog, whether or not this is an old friend that we're seeing again, whether or not you're trying to introduce a dog long-term into a family. And because it is so quick and easy, the other thing is if you do one and you walk away from it feeling very tense, I would not necessarily turn around and do another one. You know, pay attention to your own gut. If you're like, that went okay, or it was fine. No, fine is not good enough. I remember talking to a behaviorist who said, you know, there are 3 stress signals, flight, fight, and fine. So if you think it was just fine, you need to ask yourself, why wasn't it good?
Yeah.
So anything else? I think this also goes down to body language, you know, knowing your own dog's body language, but also knowing other dogs' body language. But one of the things that I have found that I have used this for, and I don't know if you have done this, is I also use the 3-second greeting for dogs meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, shorter is better.
Shorter is better.
I really think that sometimes we forget that people have body language as well that we can pay attention to. Watch for flight from people, you know. It could be very subtle. It could be that they look away, that they turn their head, they take a step sideways or backwards. So they may be saying, I'm not so sure I do want to meet your dog. They may say, yeah, sure, but watch their body language, because they may also mm-hmm. be very clearly telling you, no, this is not something that I want to do. Children can be very tricky for dogs. So
children can.
So one of the things that I have started, I had a client who was taking their dog to work, and children would come into their place of business. And so one of the things that I suggested they do is, in the lobby they have chairs, is you sit down in the chair, turn the dog's head towards you, so the dog's head is like in your lap, and you're feeding the dog treats and scratching his ears, and the children can then pet the back of the dog, so that we're not putting teeth anywhere near kids. Now, this was a very social, very lovely puppy, but my interest was in not just in keeping kids safe, but in keeping the dog safe and comfortable as well. So I think, and then there's no reason why you can't say, okay, wait till I get him in place, and then you can pet him 3 times. That's about 3 seconds. And then move along. I don't know,
one little caveat on that, because that works great with some dogs and not with others, because the couple of things I would just want to say to people if they were going to try that on their own are, this can only be with a dog who actually loves kids.
Yes.
And I don't want the kids approaching the dog from behind. So to say to my dog, you need to sit here and let someone touch you because I decided, could create an uncomfortable moment. So if the children could approach sort of from the side, so the dog can see them coming and then gently touch and then stop, and this is a dog who actually really likes kids, then that's great. I use that technique most often when I did school visits. That is not what I taught the kids, but it is what I would do with the children who were terrified. And so I would save them and I would say, okay, now if you'd like to have a turn, you know, I could turn Gordo and then you could just pet him like this, you know, even with your teacher or whatever. But I used it only with the kids who were very, very afraid. And this was a dog who really liked kids. And I was in a teaching mode to teach these kids. So it's like, I'm not saying I'm not disagreeing with you, and I don't mean to sound like I am. I just think that if we just say to families, you know, so here, you just give the dog treats and let kids pet him, a lot of dogs will be uncomfortable with that.
I think that's a very good caveat to add. Thank you. I think that was a very good idea. The other thing is one thing we have not mentioned here is how important it is to keep the leash loose at all times. Because if
your dog... Why is that?
Well, because if your dog doesn't feel like he can move, we might have to go to alternative strategy. Instead of fine, we might go to fight. So, because if we don't have fine or flight as options, we're going to move to fight. So I think it's also just incredibly important to remember to keep the leash loose, whether you are meeting people or other dogs. And also, too, if you're reading signs of people that might be uncomfortable, make sure your dog is comfortable meeting people, too. So that if your dog is showing any of these signs of he's turning away or he's backing away or he's moving sideways, he might be saying, I don't want to meet this person. I've met 17 people today and I've had enough.
Right. And that's the thing, because it differs each time. One thing I want to clarify on your loose leash comment is there is a very different thing between a loose leash and a long leash. So when we're saying a loose leash, we're not saying you have to hold the handle and let the dog have all 6 feet or 4 feet or whatever you've got. But what we're saying is you're holding onto that leash and there's not tension on your dog's collar as a result of that. So your hand is close enough to hold onto the leash and have the dog in whatever amount of range of motion you want to provide, and that you could help to manage and control the dog using this leash, but you're not currently doing so. You are prepared, but not actively doing so. Right. And if you feel like you need to hold your dog really tight to greet, then you shouldn't be greeting.
Absolutely.
If you feel the need to that level of control, then we're not ready. And then we can work on that. That's a different thing.
That is a different thing. And as he puts it, is beyond the scope of this podcast. So yes, if you feel like your dog has to be sort of, you know, under lock and key to meet somebody, then we shouldn't be meeting. And that's a very good point. So, all right.
Loose leash is not a long leash. They're not the same thing.
Very
but
good.
But loose leashes are very important.
They are. They are very important. So what I tend to people when I say, when I mean loose leash, it should resemble a J. It should be hanging down from the collar, not straight out at a line.
I stole this from another dog trainer, and I don't remember who, but she called it a smile.
Oh.
She was like, it should be hanging between you like a little smile. And I thought, that's an image. And so I wish I could give credit. I cannot, because some wonderful dog trainer said that somewhere along the way. And I thought, that's a really good way to say it.
Yeah, well, maybe she's listening and she'll call in and tell us.
Yeah, and we can give her credit.
That would be great. One of the things I'm going to do is I am going to put a link to the original article as well as to my blog on it so that you can read some more. And once again, is if you are having problems with your dog meeting another dog, please get yourself a positive reinforcement trainer who can help you learn about appropriate distances, how to manage your dog around other dogs, and what you can do to keep everybody feeling happy and safe. So
I'll work with you a few times so you can practice the skill so that you'll be comfortable doing it on your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that does it. Thank you very much, Colleen. And we will see you next time on Your Family Dog.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.